I'm sure we'll have to like to have that. Jack Ashley, I had that old thing over there when I lived next door to him on Hubbard Street once. He hooked that thing on car he had. He went downtown flattering that.
Well, that electric or automatic bell that you're talking about first, was that electric?
No, it was air.
Air? And so they got the air somehow out of the brake system and rang.
Did
they have that on many cars?
No, they just have. That's just another one of those.
Just one experiment.
They just bought one of them and put it on one end of one car. And so there was some guy that was gone happy. We got those every now and then. And we just ring that thing every intersection and. Naturally, people complain about it.
Complaints all over the place.
That's the one fellow in particular. He wasn't happy unless he's playing that gong. Every intersection, he had to beat on a gong. And he was a nervous, jumpy sort of a fellow.
Did you have any particular kind of bell signals or those things?
Well, no. The overhead bells on the two-man equipment, your signals for that was one bell was to stop at the next stop. And if you wanted to cancel that, well, you give him two bells. And if you wanted to stop right now, you give him three bells. That meant stop right now, stop immediately. And if you wanted to back up, you give him four bells.
What happened if you just wanted to proceed, like you let somebody off?
Give him two bells to go.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then to start him.
Did the city run any two-man crews on those new cars when they got them?
Oh, when they first got them, they were on two-man sign-ups, you know, at the time. And they, well, the guy that one of them run it, the other, they won't be set around. He's supposed to yell the streets and help people getting on and off. But that didn't last long. You know, I've got one old. I got something here that you ought to see.
Okay.
And then I've got an old rule book here that was issued to me when I went to work.
Well, now that is an old one. I've got, you know, some of the more recent kinds.
Yeah.
Well, I got one.
Oh, that's some junk in this old changer bag. I don't know what these are. Yeah. But when I went to work, we didn't carry any schedules. A guy that first went to work, maybe he'd copy a schedule down. But we'd look at them, and all the schedules divided the hours. And you could figure them out, you know. And they kept the service about the same. There's quite a few years after I first went to work, they had the same service all day long. That is, you start out well, not all day long. At first, when I first went to work, like for instance, they had two cars start out early in the morning, and then the third one came out, and it stayed on till after the evening rush hour, and then it went in, the two things shut, and then they didn't have trippers. Trippers, we had good runs before the trippers come along. And the trippers, when you keep them in the runs, you make splits and one thing another, you know, a fella goes down for a trip for 2.5 hours. Well, you try to work that into a run. You've got to get to 5.5 hours someplace else. And some of them be, you'd be going up. I had a run that I worked about a year and a half. One of those. I went out, went four times for an 8-hour run a day. I worked on the Braille. Started out on Indian School, but I worked on the Braille, and then on Washington Street. And that was a heavy run, and the heaviest thing on the job was about it.
Did they start right out with the new fare boxes in these new cars?
Yeah.
Or they came with the new fare boxes. The guys, mm-hmm. The conductor must not have had much to do when you ran them two men, except sit there.
Well, he didn't. No.
This is really something.
Yeah, that put back horse cars and all, you know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's really
simple. There's horse car, steam, battery, and the cable.
That's really simple. Now this set of transfers would have been streetcar type transfers, right?
Well, they were either tore these off.
Yeah, but I mean that would have been from the time when they were probably streetcars.
Oh yeah.
But these probably weren't.
Yeah. I don't know. They're the same.
The colors fade with the year, yeah. I guess.
They was the color designated line.
Right. When you went up, did you ever went out on the Grand Avenue line? What did they do? They ran those 40 series cars even after they had new cars out there.
Yeah. They had to run two of those out there, and then they fixed up one and used it late down on 50 to close that in and use that on Kenilworth.
Even after they had the new cars?
Yeah. See, they had 18 new cars, and then they had to use some of the old ones in order to get around. Well, it started out, they put 6 cars on Washington Street. We had an 8-minute headway. And Indian School and Braille, they put 4 each on them, and they had 12-minute headways. And the Kenilworth had 2 cars and 15-minute headways. And the Grand Avenue, 2 cars in the 20-minute headway, 40-minute round trip. And so,
did they have a siding or something out at the fairgrounds?
Yes, they had a. You went into the grounds across the McDowell Road, and I don't know how many tracks they had there. 4 or 5 tracks lay down there.
That many?
And they could they could put a lot of cars in there. No, I don't know. They had 2 or 3, I think.
Where was it in? Was that where was that in relation to the buildings that are out there now?
Well, it was just west of 19th Avenue. Went from right alongside 19th Avenue, west of the building.
Just west of that east building.
Yeah, and it just one year Grand Avenue line from up here in 19, but you just went on and across here into the grounds over there. And that was all canned off, see. And when they got these other cars, they put a turnstile there and a fare box. They could use that when they wanted to. They just pay to get in that pen, all they have to do the fare would be paid.
The that you got off the car carrying those fare boxes from one end of the car to the other.
Oh no, I got used to it. You got ready to eat.
When you hung that stuff in the car, the fare box was like here, and then you hung the changer. Let's see, you hung something around the back forward.
The controller.
Yeah.
The reverse key.
The reverse key.
Well, you'd just take your changer and throw it over your shoulder and this shoulder and get the fare box like that and walk back there and then set the fare box down. Of course, you carried your tools in your hand. You had your carry the reverse handle, controller handle. Carry that in your left hand, and then you could put those on there. And you got to where you could throw those things on there as fast to never miss anything, you know. I learned that it takes so many seconds to make a minute, and then you don't want to lose any seconds. And I figured out every way under the sun that I could save seconds. And so, in like that way, you did everything. You had to be coordinated all the way through on that, and you had to use a certain rhythm. Now there's something else. If you want to get one of those things over the ground fast, you had that rhythm with you, you know. I can't explain.
You had a lot of things going.
Yeah. This fella, it's pretty hard to keep from getting keyed up, you know, when you had to put out all you could to make it. But I found out that if you relax and just watched everything and wound that thing up just like you know it should be wound up, set it, you know, and you make your stops. If you make it stop, a smooth stop, your passengers soon be, they trust you. And they would be up at the door ready to get out. But if you would handle your equipment rough, they'd sit in their seat and, a lot of them would, if you made a rough stop, if you get too much air at once, that would tend to throw them forward more. And the main thing, the things that counted was to be ready to get that door open as fast as possible, get it closed and gone as fast as possible. And just Mr. Hughes with the door just stepped off. not miss any, make any slips as you went along, have everything ready, prepared ahead of time.
You know, they still run those kind of streetcars in New Orleans.
Yeah.
The old fashioned.
Well, there was at that time where they were quite a sensation when they were first built. They had them all over the country. Some places they called them the Big Bernies. The Bernie, Birney, he made a single truck. They made a little single truck. And they could three or four guys get on the back end of one of those things and jump up and down, and they'd throw the thing off the track.
The
there's a little museum, a trolley car museum in California, south of Riverside, about 30 miles on the road to San Diego. A place called Paris, and I belong to it, pay a little money every year. They have about, well, they got a circular track there, must be half a mile, and they got about
south of Riverside?
Another maybe 3/4 of a mile of straight track, and they've got cars of all kinds and varieties. Most of them in various states of disrepair because the weather's not very kind on them. They're just now finishing their car barns. But they have a Bernie car that operates. And they have a car from New Orleans. They've got a lot of stuff from the Los Angeles area. But they operate on Saturdays and Sundays.
The first, those old cracker boxes we used to call them sometimes, that the little hand brakes that they had when I went to work. Those things were built in San Diego, the San Diego Railway Company. Well, they were originally had been had the seats turned out, and they'd been open. The ends, I guess, and they turned them in and closed them. I don't know where they got old 33 and number one. They were stray ones. They walked in secondhand someplace, right there. I guess the only, I was told that the only new cars that the German company ever bought was the
40s. Yeah.
Four of them.
Because the records, when they first got them, the records go into great length as to how they're supposed to operate them and what they're not supposed to do and what they're supposed to do and what kind of special care you're supposed to be given those, you know.
They had an old tin building down there that they kept all kinds of stuff in. During the 30s, the WPA gang working out there. One of them was telling about the stuff that they, it was a rainy day, there wasn't a day, half of them was sitting around, you know. And the raining day, most of them in there, and they got to looking through some of those old records that Mitchell had written about different ones. This fellow's name wasn't whatever it was. He was something else, and he had worked for three or four different companies, and he can't have one of them knocking down. This fellow took everything but the car. He did bring the car back. And
I didn't come across any of those. They got some conductor records, you know, where it talks about going back. There's a book that goes from about 1911 to, I guess, 1914, and then one that's about 1920 to 1924 or thereabouts. And it's got, you know, the guy's name, and then okay this month, okay this accident, or some kind of an incident, you know, all written out in great longhand about discourtesy to the one of the members of the public, or you know, some kind of nonsense like that. But, I think of all these pictures that I got, but that one's about my favorite. Car passing on the Kenilworth.
That's old Kenilworth, yeah. Mm-hmm. They used to like the J.W. Farrell, and I used to work that line, and we worked that line and sign up for two. And many times we'd hit that, we always aim to hit that switch without stopping. And, you know, we just like that, we just pass it and never stop. And we hate to go through there while I'm sitting wait on you. If you had to wait on, well, the downtown end, that was the fast end. The other end was easy. You'd have, 2 to 4 minutes to sit out on the end if you want to kill time, you know. And the fella downtown, he needed to get out of there. He very seldom had any time at all. got loaded. It was time to go.
Were those doors on the side behind behind where the motorman sat? They, when I, as near as I can remember, they only used them on the Kenilworth line. You know, the one that opened on the wrong side.
Yeah.
Did they all those cars originally, were they all set up to use that?
Yeah, they had those were hooked up in the back. Use that for discharging passengers. But they never did get the mirrors to went with them or anything of that sort. And so they had a little handle, well, about so long. And you put that on a, that was, where that thing was located. It was up there near your air valve. Anyway, you could open that back door.
I mean, from
let them
front,
out, you know.
From the front end.
Yeah.
Which you could. Did
they
ever use it?
They
ever use it at all?
Well, they wouldn't let us use them. We use them sometimes to begin with. Then they, some guy would be careless and leave the handle on the other side, leave it when he
changed.
And some monkey come along and play with it, you know. Well, you know what that, when it went on, of course, naturally the brakes went on.
Yeah.
When you opened the door. And, so,
that could cause you
and then the button, now there they were. Well, the superintendent, CE newcomer, he, I understand, was a, had been a country banker and was tied as bark on a tree. He didn't like to spend a dime for anything. And whatever they get by, just as cheap as possible. He never could understand that you had to spend money to get money. And he didn't like it because you had seats and the operator to sit down. He didn't understand that. You should be standing up so they'd be alert. To sit down, they wouldn't be alert. And that's the old school, you know, way back there. One time they had those old cars that had those arc lights, and was having trouble with them. Well, the night inspector, Jack Stevenson, he finally he got disgusted, so he just one car one night and it had a light, wouldn't work. Well, he said, just go in with it, just take it in. Couldn't make it work. He said, there's four brand new ones down there. You won't put them out. He said, I've written up and written it up. And so he reported, we sent that car in, so and so. What do you think about those two men going away just for doing nothing, see? that burned him up. And so then he finally put those headlights out. Things like that. He's a good old man, but another thing that they never did, if they accused you of something and that you didn't do, you never got an apology from them. They seemed to think that you should be so grateful for the opportunity of working for them that you do anything. In fact, in that old rule book, I think it's in this one. There's a, maybe it's in that other book there. The place in there, you're supposed to report anything that you see any other man doing, you
probably
know.
Probably in that one.
You're supposed to be a stool pigeon.
Yeah.
Along with it. This thing here is the rules in here, they make you laugh.
Well, times, of course, are kind of harsh, yeah.
They organized in 1912, 13, sometime along there. They had a little, and they went out on strike.
Yeah, 1913.
Well, after that, why, it was really rough. But Now, they had more guys knocking down when I went to work, whether it was several of them, at least. Everybody knew they'd knock them down. And they had that old Omer system. And was what they do, they just fail to ring it up. And then, of course, he'd need to keep track of his registry so he'd know how much to knock down, how much to turn in, because they fired you if they caught you keeping track of your registry. The number rung up on the trips, you know. So I thought that was funny when I got this, went to work, you know, everybody got a letter. They were just gone to work telling you that you keep no track of the registry, you'd be dismissed immediately if you were caught keeping track of it. So then I figured out what was for. I never thought of it. I was just a country boy. I never.
Never occurred to you that
never,
that.
No, I never thought about it. That wasn't my money, and I had no business with it. And it was their money. There's one guy that he got canned, and he wrote with me right after. Well, I said, they informed me that I'm keep totally through my services, if they think they can get along without me. And they're very nice about it, though. They thank me for bringing the car back. I don't know how many times you've been canned before.
Here's some old Glendale tickets.
Yeah. That's the old ones. Well, mm-hmm. The ones we used were just about the same thing.
These are 1913 transfers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You had the punch destination on those things. And those old Glendale tickets, that's what they used for their wives and employees.
Yeah.
And they only had it said wife on them and for their wives. And
they say on
that's
here.
That's what they had when I went to work. No, let's see. Well, it's only, this is up here different.
This was a temporary transfer, this one was. This one, like you look here, they got depot line.
Yeah.
And East Lake Park.
That's the kind they had when I went to work. Only they modified them a little bit.
Those are some things out of paper when they got the new streetcar editorial. Bottom. And then they ran a picture here, which is kind of funny because that's not any streetcar that was ever near Phoenix. It had double doors in the back.
Yeah.
But I guess it's hard to take pictures, or at least get them
reduced.
The guy got a picture.
He didn't know one from another.
Those are the specifications on those new cars. Talks about the trucks and brakes and seats and that kind of stuff. Most of the rest of this is all new. Here's a newspaper picture. I'm going to get to the newspaper and get the original out before that car was high and dry when they lowered the railroad tracks on Adams Street. Stuck on the west end.
Oh.
Went down to the west end and they had torn up the tracks because they were long.
Couldn't
get back.
Well, they just, they probably relayed them, you know, across the track.
Yeah.
That's what we used to do. That's what, when they rebuilding the track, we had to do that a lot.
It was just some old street scenes of one sort or another from the 1920s. Nothing
that looks like 19th Avenue. No. That's the car track there.
Let's see, it says on that. 11th Street in Washington.
That's for the page.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, one or two of them.
Wrigley's.
That's on East Washington, too. Let's see, there's one here of Glendale. Here's East Lake Park on the loop. I came around. You're looking on Jefferson, looking west.
Yeah.
And then there's a, let's see, this is Grand Avenue, looking back toward town.
Yeah.
Now this is kind of interesting. This was out on East Lake Park, the loop. This supposedly, this picture's looking south, and there was a, apparently the loop goes around like this, and then there was a track that went on down to the south of there.
Yeah.
And joined, went down the railroad. What did they ever use that for? Did they ever use it at all?
Oh, they used it back and forth. When they brought those cars, you know, they brought them in that way.
They brought them off with the railroad.
And,
did they have a switch that went on to the railroad track? Down at the track?
I guess so. Now, they tell me that when they had the old Glendale line, that they used to pull refrigerator cars up to some of those sheds, lettuce sheds, and like that. They pull them up there and load them, and then we pulled them up there. I don't know what the old car they used to do that.
You pulled them up to the Orangewood district?
Yeah, up in there for lettuce and citrus and like that.
And then they'd load them up and...
Yeah, and then bring them, pull them back down.
They put them on a siding somewhere?
Well, they had sidings, yeah. Now, there was one place they called Stout Station. I don't know what that was. And whether it was more than that, more than one.
There was one at Orangewood where they passed, right on the other side of Central Avenue. But I could never figure out where Stout's siding was. That's more off toward Glendale. And
Sam Hodge could tell you, because he worked that line quite a bit.
Whether there was any, you know... So they actually were still, did they do some of this while you were still working for them?
No. No.
When did they tear up this thing going down to the Southern Pacific track?
I don't know when they tore that up. Every now and then, it'd be used for something. And I don't know.
When did they get rid of the loop down to East Lake Park?
Well, that's when they rebuilt Washington. I don't know what their idea was. I guess they figured that there wasn't much business down there. East Lake is getting pretty black in there. And when I first went to work, there weren't many colored people around there. There was two little stores down there. One of the Chinese, and the other one was different. The name was the other one, Downton. And they didn't have anything there. It was just a park, and the little pool was. There was a pond, and they drained that about the time I went to work. And there's a bunch of little alligators there. They scattered around the neighborhood.
They had alligators in the park?
Yeah, they had some little alligators there. What had been the first swimming pool in the valley. I heard fellas tell about when they'd worked out there. Oh, this is years and years before my time. How they, a fellow would sign a run that part of the time maybe be working on cars, and then maybe be part of the time pumping down there to park. Pumping water for the swimming pool. And he said they liked to do that. So that we got down there, well, I said there was people picnicking out there all the time. It was the only park in town. And they'd invite you over to have lunch with them, and study while they were pumping, hand pumping. I think it was of this kind. I don't know.
You know, I kind of wondered about the loop down there, because there was always, you know, on just where the east end on the Washington Street line went to single track. You know, where it was single track on the wrong side of the street there for the last, what, block?
Well, it went from 15th Street to 17th.
Yeah, well, right there on 15th Street, there's a Chinese grocery store.
Yeah.
And
Lee Ju.
Right, and in the concrete, there is a track turnout heading off for that loop, which is in the same kind of concrete that they concreted everything else in when they rebuilt the line. And I could never figure out why they left that little stub there. If they tore it up when they rebuild it, why would they leave that little switch and that stub going off in that direction? It didn't make any kind of sense.
It hit it down 15th Street.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, I remember that too, but I don't know.
It was just a stub there.
It never connected with the other.
It was just a stub there.
Yes, I do remember seeing that plane there.
You can still see it there right now. Yeah. It's one of the few things that's still uncovered. What did they do when they got to the, when they still had the Hollywood line for a while after they rebuilt the rest of it, didn't they?
I don't remember, but they I guess they pulled that off during the Depression.
What would you do? You just run down to where you were supposed to stop at 16th Street and then stop.
No, not 16th. Oh, yeah, after they cut it out. Really. Yeah, that's the end of the line.
Then the tracks went on.
There weren't any other tracks. Oh, no. Well, let's see. Wait a minute here. No, they had to quit that Hollywood down there because they never did run the tracks on that. But they had to, when they rebuilt them, they had to quit that. They didn't, you know, a bunch of politicians have got no business operating anything like that. But you see what happened to that. And the property is worth millions and millions of dollars now. It got for $26,000, I think it was. They took all everything they wanted from it and gave no credit, nothing in return. In other words, they just bled it to death. They never fed it anything. These politicians they get up there and they have their rump sessions, you know, and. I mean, their closed session before they went into open meeting, and they would decide what they're going to do. And if people wasn't hollering, why, they'd say, well, hey, that's all right, dude. They're not complaining. Well, like one time, there was $160,000. I may be wrong in the figures. There was a lot of money it disappeared anyway. They had to, they were short that much, and they had to get it someplace. Well, we were supposed to have 10 new buses. So there's where it went. And the fellow that delivered it said, well, we just do without these buses. And, of course, he was a great guy, you know. Oh, yes, they patted him on the back and, like everything. He was making himself secure. Mm-hmm. But, now, just things like that, that went on all the time. And when they rebuilt that system, the ties they put in were pine ties. They were not treated, and that is where they put in pine ties. Most of it was, a lot of it, that down through town and up 3rd Street to McDowell Road and all of Washington.
That was all country.
Yeah, that was they excavated about 24 inches, I think, something like that, and they put the Would they put the crushed rock in the bottom, or did they put and then sealed?
No, it was crushed rock was part of it.
Yeah, crushed rock and then sealed, and then more crushed rock and Stephen Hyde's, and then the rails were welded, and then there's about, somebody said 9 inches of concrete on top of there, and they used that as a new process, the Hunt process they call it. Well, they sprayed the top, and it cured itself. Previous to that time, and paving, well, it took, I think, 21 days to cure pavement. They did. Put the dirt that make pans, borders, you know,
yeah.
Sections,
right.
And fill that full of water. Keep the fill full of water for I don't know how long, and then take it out and gradually remove it after 21 days when they start using it. I don't know how long it was. People were saying, oh, you can't do that, you can't do it, they were ruining it. That is some of the hardest concrete you ever.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, if you dig it up right now, you could probably run trolley cars on it again.
Well, they claimed when they got through with it, when they after finished it by, there was some transit magazine had pictures of that, what was advertising the
process.
Yeah, and it said that it withstand the locomotives. About how it's built and pictures of it.
They had all kinds of little slogans, I remember, in the windows of those cars. I remember one of them was, favor yourself, go by streetcar,
yeah.
And they had one that was, ride a mile and smile a while. I can't remember the rest of them. You remember any of them?
No.
See, there's one with, ride and relax, and ride a mile and smile a while, favor yourself, go by streetcar. And they were, it was a green background and kind of a gold, gold writing.
Gold letters. They were up on the upper part of the operator's window, the side window.
Yeah.
They had the first of those windows were just plain glass, you know, well that sun beating in, and the front was rough on you, on the side too.
That might have been all right back east, but not so bad.
Yeah, so they painted them. Slogans on.
That's really.
You, if you want to take these with you.
I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to be able to make some copies of those pictures of those streetcars.
Well, if I want them back, I wouldn't take a lot for this particular book. As this thing here just has sentimental values.
Oh, well, no, I mean, like it would probably take me about a week or maybe 2 weeks to get those pictures. What they do, they have to take a picture if you don't, when you don't have the negative.
Yeah.
You can take it to the shop and they take a picture of the picture. You don't happen to have the negatives to those, do you?
No.
But if you take...
Which ones?
The ones in the big book.
No. I tried taking some pictures, but then I didn't have, I did this last summer, the copies of the old family pictures, and I did it outside, and I didn't do so good. That's the man of mine. There's a couple of old uncles. Great uncle, too. That's great. You know what? I could go back there and I could tell you who every one of these pictures were, but I couldn't tell you here. You know how that goes.
Yeah. This is your changer and your sack and punch.
Yeah.
Is this the one that you had all the time?
No, I had that's the second one. I had the first one I had was just a triangle, and anyway, it was getting kind of rusty, and I was in there one day, and that thing's too rusty. You take a new one. So even that, I don't know what broke that. Now that thing there, I got that in 1929.
I have a sign box out of I think it was 514, which I bought out of the junkyard after the car had been junked. I got a sign box, and which still works. And I've got a set of controls. In other words, I've got the air brake handle, the control, not the controller, but the top part of it, with the controller handle,
yep.
And the key. And some conductor badges from the old ones, and some of the round City of Phoenix ones.
What we do, that money, we just punch it.
Did you still put it in the sack or in the, let's see, I read something about they had a safe down someplace and you put the money in a sack and toss it down a chute or something.
Yeah, at night.
At night.
Yeah. You know, when I went to work there, they had a vault there that the money go in, and that's all it was, just a chute that went down in there.
Right, that's what I was
talking about. There was no, a fellow wanted, he could stole that out of there so easy. And every once in a while, one of the sack of money would disappear. And the old man, Mitchell, he didn't, oh, it was impossible to get anything out of there.
Yeah.
Well, it just dropped down to the floor. You could have put a fish hook down there and picked it up.
That's kind of what I thought about. I read about it. It doesn't sound like it would take much money.
Yeah, they had an iron poker thing that you could make sure that
make sure it went
up.
Down.
Yeah, it went down.
I would have to get out of here a minute. Now, but I'd like to borrow these pictures for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Just to have them reproduced.
Well, any of those others there,
they are hard to come by. You don't happen to know anybody else that has any, do you? There are very few pictures, you know, around the country.
No, these ones.
Yeah, around the country, there's a lot of people.
You see that picture, Bill?
Yeah.
Well, that's a friend of mine had his crashing engine. I mean, I've got some pictures there of him. Very bad of them now.
Yes, they are.
He's got one there. He's got that thing just in perfect condition. Got me backyard. Here. Case. Everything's shining. Very easily wise.
Did he work it very often? Did he run it very often?
Oh, they had a, that place there, he took it up to that, and they give demonstrations, see, like the fresh grain.
Yeah.
Like that. This is a, I don't know, something like that. It's a big one. That's a lot of horsepower.
In those days, it sure was.
Yeah. And, well, they were big horses. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's a terrific amount of power. He'd have to have a truck up there.
Well, what I'll do is I'll bring these back in a couple of weeks, because I say it takes me about a week to make them up. And
I'll get some of the ones that look better or look pretty good. While I'll get you, I'll blow up some. If you'd like that, get them to blow up some.
Yeah. You like doing?
Kind of nice. Yeah.
Did you want to take?
Yeah, I'd really like to look at that. And I'd like to be careful.
I'd like to. They had several of that stuff. The more books there, but I didn't want to be a hogger. After the superintendent one time, so, well, the fellow can have